In the name of Jesus Christ, don't forget to pray for those we have on our prayer list. We have the Cason's family. Their funeral will be today, so remember them. I understand Brother Vernon's not feeling very well. His grandson, I was in a wreck, and he's certainly in a very critical condition. And also remember the death of Miss Owen. What was her name? And especially her kids. It snatched away, a mother snatched away from those little kids. We need to remember them. I tell you, you know what? You're blessed if you're here this morning. You are natural blessed this morning. You're not in a hospital, and I know you have some family members that's sick, but if you just want to take the place of some of these, they'd be glad to take your place. So we just want to thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you'll turn to the book of Habakkuk, that's to go to Matthew and take a left. It won't take you long to find it. I wanted to preach this morning in the book of Daniel, but God says no. And so I reckon, I hope, and I always do, let God win out. Let God win out. Because we're fixing to have an election next Tuesday. And again, I like to read what Billy Graham put out for everybody in this country to understand. Billy Graham is 94 years old, his birthday. And he says, the legacy, and I've read this before, that we leave behind for our children and grandchildren. And this great nation is crucial. As I have approached my 94th birthday, I realize that this election could be my last and it could be our last. We don't ever know. I believe in the vital importance that we cast our ballot for candidates who base their decisions on biblical principles and support the nation of Israel. Anybody got any guess of who that is that support the nation of Israel? I urge you to vote for those who protect the sanctity of life. Anybody got any doubt who's for abortion and who's not for abortion? And then he says, support the definition of marriage between a man and a woman. Anybody got any doubt? Who's for homosexual, who for same-sex marriages. Vote for biblical values this November the 6th and pray with me that America will remain one nation under God. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can the righteous do? Well, I know if you like me, I watch the news so much that I'm about tired of watching it. I'm tired of watching it because God already knows what we need. And God's in control, and I just get all excited, and I tell you what, from time to time I get discouraged, and I get disappointed, and I get tensed up, and sometimes I go take me an extra pill. God's not excited. God's in control. And I just want to tell you, don't let this election steal your joy. Don't let this election steal your joy. The Democrats and the Republicans, they're in a process, you know, of getting their man in office. But I want to tell you, Tuesday, we're at the crossroad of the United States of America, where this country has been more divided than I believe since it has been since the Civil War. Half the country wants to go one way, and half the country wants to go another way. Half the country wants what the other half have without working for it. If we don't get back, I'm telling you, we're going into a socialist type of government, run and operated by the government of our country. Or if we go the other way, we can go back as we should towards God and have it as we always have it, a free nation, a free society for people to go and do what they want to do. We're at the crossroads. And I tell you, I would want to preach in the book of Daniel because it tells us why we're in the mess that we're in. Habakkuk tells us why we're going into it. So I hope that God will let me preach from the book of Daniel after this. As I said, you may get discouraged and disappointed, but the Senate of the United States, because there's so many that support abortion, homosexuality, same-sex marriage. We are in a culture war and a culture shock in our country. But I want to encourage you today, don't let this steal your joy, because God's still in control. And the Lord even let me have a message in the book of Daniel, if he'll let me preach through that book. And it is, there is a God in heaven. And you'll find that in Daniel chapter 2. And I want to tell you, a lot of times we think we got this, our own self, and it's our own power, what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. And we forget, even as Christians, there is a God in heaven. Whoo, and I'm glad of that. And it's not up to me, it's not up to the Republicans, it's not up to the Democrats, it's up to God. One thing I'm afeard of, he may give us what we deserve. He may give us what we deserve. But I know no matter which one of the presidents is going to be the leader of this country, they are no more than a remote control in the hands of Almighty God. That's all they are. Just a remote control. There is a God in heaven. As we read the book of Habakkuk and we read the book of Daniel, it's like turning on your television, reading the newspaper. It is up to date. It is telling us exactly the condition that we're in. It's telling us why we're in this condition, how we're going to get out of this condition. Habakkuk and the book of Daniel, both. Habakkuk is a minor prophet with a great, great message for us today. All these three chapters, the book of Habakkuk. Today, in the time of Habakkuk, the same as ours, also in the book of Daniel's, the prophet, as he prophesied what's really happening. The time of the nation is in very much distress and calamity, and same today, when everything that's not nailed down, it seemed like it's coming loose in Habakkuk's days. The nation of God that served God, and they got away from God, and it just seemed like everything was coming loose, and the devil is pulling nails as fast as he can. Well, in our country this day, it seemed to me the same way. Everything is coming loose in our country. And I believe that old devil is pulling nails and been pulling nails as fast as he can for the shackles and for the this country to be falling down. Now, as we look at this, I believe he has pulled the nails out of the home. And the home is collapsing today. It's been collapsing for several decades. But more so even today. And even Habakkuk day the same way. That today, you see, we have now, a lot of times we have two heads in a home and no heart. In our schools, I think he's pulling the nails in our schools. Many years ago, he started pulling these nails when you couldn't pray in school. You couldn't have the Ten Commandments. You couldn't have Bible reading and Bible stories in the schoolhouse. I believe he's pulled the nails from our schools. I believe he's pulling nails in our churches today. Whenever we hear a lot about separation between church and state, we need to hear more about separation between church and the world. The nails are being pulled. And you can't tell the difference between Christians and non-Christians anymore. He's pulled the nails. He wants to fog up the situation. Even homosexuality. I believe he's pulling the nails upon our nation. And no longer a nation that we worried about God or we interested in God, but we're interested in gold and greed. He's pulled the nails of God out of our society. Don't mention God. Don't mention the Bible. Don't mention the things. Even in a pulpit across America today, they don't want to hear about God and about sin. I'll get into that in just a moment as I get into my message, if I ever get there. Habakkuk had these same things going. Habakkuk in the United States stands face to face now. Anarchy in our nation. Apostasy in our church, denying the very power and the words and the message of God. We have violence in our streets that it was just as it was in Habakkuk's day. Why do the people do what they do? Why do the people even come? Why should we have a 50-50 chance of getting rid of this thing that we call a president? A 50-50 chance. Why do the people vote and support this thing that's called a president and what he stands for and the leaders that stands with him? Why does this happen? You know, God is against Sodom and Gomorrah, he rained down fire and brimstone. Do you think that God is going to allow America to keep going the way it's going? Not on your life. Not on your life. I tell you, Habakkuk was a patriot man. He loved God's people. He loved God and he loved his homeland, as I know that we do here this day. He wanted God's glory back in the land, amen? In his day and time, and I want God's glory back in our land. Bring back the glory of God, Habakkuk is saying. Bring back the glory of God to this great country that we're living in. But same like what he wanted wasn't working out. All Habakkuk had was just more problems and more questions. He began to question. And he looks upon society as we look upon society today in our country. And what's happening right before our eyes. And what are we going to leave our next generation to? Our kids and our grandkids. And Habakkuk was concerned about that. The question that we face today, the same question he faced. And he prayed for his country as we pray for our country. Many times you hear Christians praying for our country and praying for our country. And he prayed for his country for it to get better, but it was getting worse. And it looks like to me the same United States. Pray to remove these unholy people upon our office, Habakkuk said. And then it seemed like God wasn't doing nothing. Where's God at in all this, Habakkuk says? Why God don't do something? People of God was losing faith in his day. Habakkuk was flustered. Just today, as we see what's happening, it makes you kind of flustered. It just kind of tears you up and discourages you and disappoints you. But don't let this election steal your joy. God's still on the throne. And we got a lot to thank God for. Habakkuk says that God is going to bless anyway. Now, chapter 1 talks about the preplex problems, and number 1 up there, the preplex problems that we have. Because it says, you know, there was a burden. There was a burden. He saw this burden. Now, I tell you what, do you see a burden across our land this day? If you don't, you need to put on you some more glasses. Because, buddy, we ought to be burdened for our country. Burning for what's happening at the polls. Burning for what people's doing and how our country's turning out and what direction our country's going in. We ought to have a burning as Habakkuk had a burning for his country. We ought to have a burning for our country this day. And I tell you, Habakkuk was talking to the people of God today. It's the people of God that can make a change in this country. It's the people of God. You see, because there was a burning. Chapter 2. It says, chapter 2, verse 3, for the vision is yet for appointed time. There's a burning, and then it turns into a vision with prayer, and then it turns out for praise. The burden and the vision and then the praise. It applies to you and I today. How, as never ever before, as God wrote in his book, so many evidence of what's going on in our country as he's wrote in these two books of Daniel and also this book that we're reading here this hour. Tell us why and what things are happening. There's a God in heaven. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. The burnings which Habakkuk the prophet did see. I hope you see these today in our country. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou will not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and will not save. Let us pray. Jesus, our heavenly Father, we just pray that you might overspread this country. Father, with the glory that we have had before. Many times the nation of Israel has prayed. The great leaders, the prophets and the kings, Lord, and the priests have prayed. God, O Jehovah, overshadow the little nation of Israel, Father, because it's you is our protection. And bring us back, O God, that we might realize and know that there's a God in heaven. Today, if we never ever needed it before, we need it now, God, that you might overshadow this nation as people begin to understand that they will not leave this nation for their kids and their grandkids. We're going into Babylonian captivity, and I believe we're already there. But God, you brought your people out of Babylon, and you can bring us out also of the mess and condition that we're in. 10, if my people call by my name will humble themselves and seek thy face, and Lord, and pray. I tell you, you said that you would hear from heaven and heal our land. Father, and we just pray, God, that we might do just exactly that. But Father, I'm afraid as I see the burden upon this nation that God's people will not return back to you if we keep going in this direction. Father, we can just read in the Bible, Lord, exactly what's going to happen to this great country that we all love so dear. So Father, I just pray that you might give us a burden and understanding. But most of all, I pray that we might give you the praise this morning, the praise and the glory, God, because, Lord, the affairs of men don't disturb you. And the praise, God, that you need today is odd from your people, and we praise thy holy name of Jesus Christ this day, the name that's above every name, the name that's above what we call a president today, the name that's above all the presidents of the whole world, all the kings today, the name of Jesus Christ, that great name. And everybody, Lord, will confess the name of Jesus Christ, and every knee shall bow to the King of the glory of glory, and Lord, unto the great God that we serve this day. How that we pray and need, Lord, a sermon from you, how the pulpit across America needs to be on fire and tell the people what they need to hear instead of what they want to hear this day. We thank you and we praise you today in the precious and the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and amen and amen. There is a pre-prex problem in the day of Habakkuk, the problem of heaven's silence. As verse 1 and 2 has already read, he prayed to the Lord. He cried to the Lord. Habakkuk prayed, but yet there was no answer. How many times have we prayed for this nation and the people of this nation to turn from their wicked ways, and yet we see they're getting worse? Habakkuk said, I've prayed. It looks like the nation is turning more and more against God Almighty. It looks to me like this nation, percentage is growing all the time, is turning against the God Almighty. Want God out of everything. All you got to do is watch television, and anybody can see that this nation is split. Half the people on this side and half the people on that side. They want the things that they want. They don't care how they get it. And they don't care what the Bible or the Word of God says. Kick God out. I want what I want. And we've been praying for this, but same like Habakkuk says, I've been praying, but you don't hear God. It's getting worse and worse. In verse 2, you see there's a first one that says cry. It says, how long shall I cry? And that first word there, cry, is different from the second word. It means that I'm crying. For plead, God help us. We need to cry out today, God help us. We are in trouble today. And I tell you, the great military that the United States, God, I don't care if we still number one in the prestige of the world today, everything that this country's got will not get us out of the mess that we're in right now. It's going to take God. And I'm going to tell you what, every one of us know what condition that you're in today. Look out upon this nation and see the burning that you ought to have on your heart for this nation, and we need to cry out, Lord, please help us. We can't help ourselves. This great nation is falling, it's crumbling, it's destruction before our eyes. Over 200 years of men have given their lives and women have fought for the freedom that we have today, but it's crumbling today because people, one thing only that, and that is we have left the Word of God. We don't want God affairing over the affairs of men anymore. We are the mighty nation. We do not need God. It's called humanist today. And a humanist is saying, we don't need God. We can do it ourselves. Oh, we need to cry out to God. This is a plea. But Habakkuk cried the second time in verse 2, and that was a shout. Oh, God, it's a different than the first cry, plea, help. It was a shout that, God, will you hear from heaven, God? You're the onlyest one. We can't turn to politics. We can't turn to the great politics of this country, even the leaders of this country. I'm going to tell you, we got to turn to God. If we don't turn to God, we're not going to have a country. Oh, the shout of cry. God, where are you? Where are you at, God? And then you see the problem, it says, second thing there, of earth's sin. Verses 3 and 4 in this chapter. Why dost thou show me iniquity and call me to behold grievance? For spoil and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment do never go forth. For the wicked does compass about the righteous. Wherefore wrong judgment proceeds? He said, now listen, condition is very terrible in my country, God. Habakkuk said, it is terrible. I mean, he says, you know what? There's violence everywhere. He says, you know what, Habakkuk, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I'm afraid he's telling our country, as you see all the violence we're having today, and you see the burning and the violence of other land, I'm afraid God is telling us, America, You ain't seen nothing yet. If you keep going the way you're going, you ain't seen nothing yet. Ooh, it'd be a terrible time. Also, we have a man that prophesied at the same time Habakkuk did. His name is Jeremiah. Jeremiah, at the same time Habakkuk prophesied, same thing. He told what the trouble was and why there's so much sin among God's people. This is the reason God had to bring judgment upon that nation of Israel in Habakkuk's time and Jeremiah's time, because there was so much sin in God's people. So much sin. Why? Why? Well, he says to start with, Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30 and 31 tells us, horrible things is committed in the land. And then he says, the prophet prophesies falsely. The priests bear rule by their means, gets anything they can out of it. But the worst thing it is my people love to have it so, and what will you do in the end thereof? What he is saying is the prophets are not preaching the word of God. The preachers of America today, and I'm going to hit the Baptist because I know they are not preaching the Word of God. You preach the Word of God and people do not like to hear it. They want to hear what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. And they will get up and walk out and they will make excuses. They'll say, somebody hurt my feelings in that church and you can't drag them back with a mule. Their little kid sits there on Sunday morning and they won't bring them to Sunday school because they said, somebody's hurt my feeling. When someone from the pulpit says, like me, you ought to have your kids in Sunday school on Wednesday night, and they get mad about it. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And that's what the prophets was doing at the time of Habakkuk. Mothers and fathers, you need to be here also. If you're a child of God, you need to be where God called you to be. And that is the word of God. But these prophets was not preaching that. They was preaching falsely. The priest was doing that priestly work for worldly selfishness. It's a sad thing and we have in our country this day. And it says that my people love to hear it so. The people, now a lot of Christians today, they love to hear what some soft-soaked preacher will tell them, that you're pretty good. I mean, you'll lift you up, Mr. Television. Do you know who that is? That big preacher out there in Houston, Texas. I hate to call his name. I don't think I will. His name is Osteen. So many books and so many tapes, great many, hundreds of people come to that man, and he's cotton candy preacher. He'll lift you up, and you'll think you done something and make you feel good when you leave, and you get a big mouth of cotton candy when you ain't got, get too swallowed, you ain't got nothing. You will never, ever hear this man stand and say, I'm going to tell you what, you are sinners. He'll never, ever hear this man say, the blood of Jesus Christ will save you. You'll never, ever hear him say, whenever Jesus Christ was on that cross of Calvary, the blood flowed down through his face. No, sir. His group do not want to hear that. Even if there are people that saved there, they will not hear that. They like it to say, hey, now you know what? You're pretty good. Now you need to lift yourself up. God wants to lift you up. And God does want to lift you up. But he wants to lift you up by the truth instead of cotton candy. You ought not talk about other preachers. I ain't talking about other preachers. I'm just telling you the truth. You can take it any way you want to. I'm going to tell you, and they're full of them. I mean, this country is full of them. Cotton candy preachers. And the priest, selfishness. And the thing about it, it says, my people love to have it so. God, people love to have it so. Liberal churches, and a lot of Baptist churches are liberal churches today. And I'm going to tell you, I couldn't preach this way from a lot of Baptist pulpits today because they will not let me come back and half the people will get up and leave. They love to have it so they don't want to have to worry about their sins. And I tell you what, the Word of God will cut you. I don't care who you are. It cuts me. It'll cut you. It'll cut everybody. And that's what it's supposed to do. I would like to preach every sermon that I ever preach for it to be an uplifting sermon. I don't ever want to preach on hell. You'll never hear that man preach on hell neither. But I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ taught more about hell than he did heaven. It's the truth of what we need to hear today. I'm going to tell you, the problem is not with the White House. The problem is not in our schoolhouse. The problem is in the church house. The problem is in the church house. Generation of preachers have been to seminary schools, even in our Baptist seminaries there, and us send money to them in our Baptist seminary school with liberal teachers that don't even believe the Word of God. When you come out, you tell them something they want to hear instead of what they need. Where is God's preachers at today to tell them what it is that we need to be saved? Tell people what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. Listen today, the prophets, the priests, they serve for their self-gain, what they can get out of it. And the people love to have it that way. And I'm going to tell you, the people today love to have it that way. United States, the preacher, I'm going to tell you what, there's preachers, and I'm going to tell you in Baptist churches to tell you that homosexuality is an accepted lifestyle. They'll tell you homosexuality, there's nothing wrong with it, that God made you that way. God said that's a lie, that's not in the Word of God, and that is a lie. This election, now you better listen. This election, although that we have a, I don't call his name from his pulpit, y'all know that. I won't call his name from this pulpit, what we got up there. He's so ungodly. But this election is not upon a character of a person, although that's what they're making it out to be. It goes much deeper than this election to be a character upon a person. I'm going to tell you, this election is the character upon this nation. This vote will be a character upon this nation and not the man. Because you already know what the man stands for, or you should. And the people love to have it so. Jeremiah 8 and 12. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them and fall in the time of their visitation. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. They could not blush. They weren't even ashamed. Did that sound like America today? Stand up and praise for their homosexuality? What's happening today? When a nation is proud of their sin, it's on its last leg. I'm telling you exactly what's happening to this nation and what's going to happen to it. When a nation is proud of its sin, it's on its last leg. It's going down. It says, verse 1 and 4. It says, therefore the law is slack, and judgment do never goes forth. The wicked do confess about the righteous, and therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. It says the law is slack. You know, that means paralyzed. We got more laws and more judgment than we ever had before, and we got more lawlessness and more crime than we ever had before. It says there now, the law is slack. That means it's paralyzed. They people can kill, murder, kill little boys and girls, cut them up, do whatever they want to, and they put them in jail. And 35 years later, they'll still be on death row. And they ought not live 35 minutes. They ought to be put to death. The law, you can't go out anywhere because I'm going to tell you, the criminal has more rights than we do. It says here the law is slack, and that's what happened. And I'm going to tell you, that's what's happening in our day also. The problem also is hell's success upon the nation. Seeing that they love hell more than they do anything else. In Habakkuk 5 and 6, listen to what it says, behold, yea, among the heathens, and regard and wonder marvelous, for I'll work a work in your day which you will not believe, though I tell you so. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that's the Babylonians in Daniel's day, that bitter and a hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess it, and the dwelling places that was not there. He said, it's coming. I'm going to tell you what, it's coming. Habakkuk says, you know, when you speak, God, you speak strange things. Here we are, your people. Habakkuk said, we are the apple of your eye. We're the nation of Israel. And yeah, we don't do everything right as Christians today, but you got the Babylonians coming over here to take us away. You say as Christians, well, listen, we God's people. We better than the drug lords. We better than all those people on the streets. We better than those people that love homosexuality. We're better. We God's people. But yet you say you're going to bring us in and wipe us off, carry us away into captivity by a haughty and a nation that's a lot worse than we are? God said back, I'd tell you, but you wouldn't believe it. You know, God says, well, I'm telling you what's going to happen to America, but you ain't going to believe it. I'm telling you right here in the Word of God, but you ain't not even going to believe it. Habakkuk said, you're speaking strange. I'm going to send the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. And Habakkuk, you think it's bad now to your nation? You just wait a few more years. Habakkuk, you wait till they come. God says, I'm doing it. It's not going to be the nations of the world. It's not going to be some foreign nation. It's not going to be Russia. God says, I'm doing it. And I tell you, when we go down, God will bring us down. It's God doing it. Just like he brought down the nation of Israel, he'll bring us down. God says to the nation of Israel, and I believe God is saying to our country right now, I have showed you love for over 200 years. I have established this nation on the word and the love of God. When your forefathers come here, they open the word of God, and this nation and the liberal people and our ungodly school system, and again, I'm not talking about Pierce County, but our ungodly school system this day is telling us, you know what, that never did happen. But buddy, we was founded on God's word in this country. On God's word. And he says, you know, from that time, he says, I've loved this nation of United States. And I love the nation of Israel. And I've showed it to you. I have showed you mercy. I have showed you love and kindness and love. But you will not answer back to me as a nation. And I believe the United States right now is in a Babylonian captivity. And I'll prove it to you. And we'll get to the book of Daniel if God allows me to. We're in captivity. We're in captivity by the world and by the flesh and by the devil. Christian in general, why did God allow the nation to go into captivity at the time of Habakkuk? To sober them up. And I tell you, it might take more than what we think is coming to us to sober us up and realize that God means business to his people. I don't want to call that man's name. But I tell you, if that same man's go back in office, God may be just allowing that to happen to sober this country up. But because it's going to get a lot worse. And I only threw my first point. I got one more hour and I'll be through. Y'all hold tight. There's a proper perspective. Rely on the scriptures. We got resources with the saints. But I want you to look at respond to the sinners. Material, moral corruption, material corruption, spiritual corruption. Buddy, I can lay it out to you, like I said, for the next hour exactly what it is. But then there's a reign of the saints. But all this is through with. Habakkuk sits back and he just praises God. And no matter what this election comes out to, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to praise God. I don't care who's on the throne. I do care. But I mean, as far as that's concerned, I'm going to praise God. Lord, I wish I could tell you some more. God, I hope God allows me to refer back to this. If he lets me go to the book of Daniel, I'll tell you, just like opening the door and seeing it happen just before your eyes in the book of Daniel, what's happened to our country. And I tell you, it starts off with our young people, because you see, that's what happened. This captivity of the Chaldeans is Babylonian. Time of Daniel, of carrying these young kids away. And I tell you, our school system and our society has carried our young people away into a foreign land. The land that I'm living in today is not the land that I was brought up in. Oh, it's still called the United States, but it was not the land that I was brought up in. And what they have done through our school system, they have stripped their little minds. Again, I'll tell you, I'm not talking about Pierce County and our Christian school teachers, because we love every one of them and we appreciate y'all very much, but I'm talking about as a whole. They have stripped their little minds, and what it is, they've done the same thing at the time of Daniel. They brainwashed them. And I tell you, our kids in our public schools are being brainwashed and let them believe they come from a monkey and an ape and an evolution ain't a thing in the world but anti-God. And it was taught whenever I was in school. I used to like to bring home them books about a monkey walking this way. And then after a while, he got to walking this way. And then he started walking this way. That was really fun to me. I thought they knew what they was talking about. So my grandmother told me, hey, there ain't no such a thing as that. You ain't come for no monkey. And I'm going to tell you, parents, important it is, you better make sure your kids understands God of creation instead of the devil of evolution, because it's here. As we come with a song of invitation,